Okay, Ron, I need you to help me go through line item by line item the questions. I think your first question, reiterate your first question, please. The criteria? Criteria for inclusion?
Inclusion criteria. And the type of problem and level.
Sure. Karen, I'll start and jump in anytime. I think for the baseline evaluation of laryngeal health voice screenings, that's something that we make available to all incoming freshmen, all new voice students. They may or may not be experiencing difficulties. Some of them will come in and say, you know, I'm starting this out. I'm really interested in maintaining my vocal health, and I'd like to make sure that it's healthy from the get-go, and then I know where to go from here if I ever develop a problem. So that's one piece. The other piece is that we may have a call from Dr. Wickland or another person on voice faculty that says, hey, I have somebody that is developing maybe a little breathiness, or I'm seeing a little bit of reduction in upper range, and I would just really like them looked at. And so it's not necessarily that they are showing clear evidence of vocal nodules or other anomaly, but there's maybe a little bit of dysfunction. And so then they'll contact us and ask that they be seen. So that's one piece of the puzzle if we're talking about a voice screening or the baseline evaluation of laryngeal health. We also have a whole other set of people that fall into that sort of differential diagnostic category where maybe something has already been diagnosed, i.e. vocal nodules or polyps or excessive laryngeal edema, something along those lines, laryngeal hyperfunction. Maybe they've already been seen by an otolaryngologist and then they're coming into us for follow-up evaluation with treatment recommendations. The you also referenced the term treatment specifically, and I think that we're kind of using that sort of interchangeably, but I think treatment more applies to what we would do in speech and language pathology versus vocal music instruction.
But you have in your slides the word treatment for singing exercises and all that, which is sounds clinical and outside the purview of the singing teacher, which gets singing teachers into hot water with the other health professions. But that all has you have to do is change the word.
Sure, that's semantics.
That's all,
and since all of our voice teachers will buy into it, it wouldn't be a problem. So, and in fact, if any voice teacher is uncomfortable with taking their student through the therapeutic protocol, they can come into my studio and work with me, and there's allowances made for that in our load schedule. So, did you have one more question?
Yeah, the cost.
Oh, cost.
How do you deal with that?
Well,
and do you waive fees and stuff?
Right.
Sure. When we first started doing this, we actually made this available to everybody at no cost. That proved to be problematic in terms of the bottom line at the clinic after a while. So we ended up having to initiate some costs. And the cost that we actually set up for the students that opted to come in on their own volition was $25. And we emphasized to them that if that was cost prohibitive to them, keeping in mind that if they were to go to an otolaryngologist in town and get this procedure, it would range anywhere from $600 to $1,200. $25 seemed quite reasonable to cover the cost of printers and ink and that kind of thing. However, if that was cost prohibitive, we would waive the fees in the interest of academic enrichment. So it's fairly cost effective.